Was the concept of bundling, was that ever brought up amongst you and your peers on that style and drafting committee, or is this something they're trying out kind of for the first time?
Well, the concept of, quote, bundling wasn't discussed as bundling, but the idea of putting more than one proposed amendment to the Constitution in a proposal was not only discussed, but we did that. If you look back at the proposals that the CRC, the 98 CRC, put on the ballot, several of them are just deal with one subject, but many of them are, I think we had eight or nine, had multiple topics contained within the ballot proposal. So what this commission is doing conceptually was done, I know, with our commission, and I believe it was done with the 78 commission. There are differences, at least that I perceive, in our approach to that with what has been the result of what the current commission has done, in that we tried to bundle, I'm using your word, but we tried to combine. I think we would have looked at it as more combining proposals that had some intrinsic relationship to each other. They may have related to different parts of the Constitution, but they were not totally disparate in impact, a topic, or effect. More topical, more conceptual, with some relationship between them that would make sense. To the voter. One of the benefits of the CRC, some people would say it's not a benefit, but one of the differences with the CRC as opposed to a joint resolution or a citizens initiative is the concept of single subject doesn't apply. It was always been contemplated that you could have in a proposal issues that were more than a single subject. So that what they're doing, there is nothing about the process that they have engaged in that is atypical or that was unexpected for the CRC. What I perceive, Ryan, that is problematic is the almost dumping totally unrelated concepts into a proposal and creating either the impression or the reality that if you want this one issue to pass, you got to take these other two that you may not care about, may not understand, or may actually be opposed to.
That sort of combining together of things that don't, at least on the surface, especially to the voter who hasn't been following it, connect with each other or line up. Where does that leave some of these amendments that are going to be on the ballot, and what would be your take on, you know, their chances of passing?
I think that the confusion that has resulted and the discussion and the debate and the litigation that has come out of this has not been helpful. A lot of people, when they don't understand what they're being asked to vote on, will just either not vote or vote no. And when you need 60% of the vote to pass a proposal, not voting, you know, is a no vote in some ways. So the confusion, I think, is not helpful to getting them passed. The reaction of many people who do pay attention to this has been that there appeared to be a deliberate effort to put, you know, combine things people might really want, such as banning offshore drilling, with something you really don't care about at all, or you might be opposed to. And I don't know about the intent behind it, but I do think it has created a negative public opinion.
One last question I would ask, and you know, to the extent that you can speak to it, one thing that comes to mind for me when I hear you talk about your experience, you know, do they shape their own process each time, or is there a kind of a protocol laid out for you and you follow that? Or do the members of that particular CRC at the time sort of influence things like this grouping, is it kind of you're getting a mixed bag each time and each one could be different, or do they follow a rigid, more rigid process?
That's actually a very good question, and we could talk about that for a long time. But my perception, I worked closely with the 1970 CRC, not as a member, but as someone who had an issue that I was trying to work with them on. And then, of course, I was on the 1998 CRC. I had a chance to see both of them up close and personal and intimately, and they were very different. The 78 and the 98 were very different in terms of people and the makeup and what the issues are that were motivating proposals, what the climate in the state was. You have to place these CRCs in the moment that they end up coming into being, because that moment is going to affect substance and process and what the outcome. Just a footnote to that, for example, the 78 didn't pass anything. And one reason was not that they weren't great proposals, because most of those things ultimately became part of the law or the Constitution, but there was casino gambling on the ballot at the same time, and you had a very popular governor who just traveled the state saying, just say no. And he didn't try to distinguish between CRC good proposals and bad, what he thought, casino gambling. And so there was an atmosphere of just say no, there's something wrong with this process, that I think had a significant impact on the 78 commission. On the 98 commission, I don't know how it happened. I think it was the leadership of Dexter Douglas. Toni Jennings was president of the Senate. She was on the commission. The Chief Justice was there. That there was, we were very different political parties, but we bonded as a group. I can't tell you why or how, but we bonded as a group. And by the time our almost 2 years was over, I mean, they're still my best friends to this day. We had a sense of responsibility and obligation to the public and not to a political constituency. We were not driven by the governor's office or the speaker's office or the president of the Senate. We were driven really by this overwhelming sense of responsibility to the people of Florida in the proposals we put on the ballot. Only one of them did not pass. I don't know. There's a lot of talk about this commission and the motivations of it and the politicization of it. I don't know that, Ryan. I didn't go to the meetings. I can't speak to it. I'm not surprised if that happened. But I think you had good people there, and that from the beginning they fought about rules and process and procedures, and it kind of, to me, got off on the wrong foot initially, because they were fighting about who's going to control this process as opposed to looking at how to make the process open, accessible, transparent. I think something happened there that may have impacted their ability to bond as a group, in the way I saw the 78 commission bond and the 98 commission bond. I don't want to second guess them, because a lot of them are people I know and respect. If I had a personal disappointment in what this commission did, is I think they had a unique opportunity not to try to deal with problems Florida has today, or that the legislature couldn't solve, or constitutional issues they oppose, kind of yesterday's issues or today's issues. I had hoped this commission would say, where is Florida going to be in the 20 years from now? We're the third largest state in the country. What do we need in our Constitution to ensure the best form of government, the best opportunities for the citizens of Florida? How are we going to manage technology? How are we going to manage the population growth? There's so many questions that I thought I would have hoped this commission would have said, that's our job, is to look at how to position Florida for the future, not try to go back and fix things lots of other entities had the opportunity or ability to address.
Well, Martha, thank you so much for joining me, and I really appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.